Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. Today is the first day of the new moon, which means if you read Numbers chapter 10, Numbers chapter 15, and so forth, you would understand that we are called by statute, by ordinance, to observe the new moon, which comes with its own particular details in worshiping and praising the Most High through the new moon. You have to get a silver trumpet, a meat offering. It has to be mingled with oil, wine, and don't forget to salt the oblation, as it's mentioned in Exodus. Then you put it upon a stone altar made from the earth, not stones cut or hewn, as it says in Scripture, but natural stones of the earth. Pile them up, set wood thereupon. You could use oak. You can use, Home Depot has like this hickory, this flavored smelling wood. You could use that. Then you place your meat offering upon said wood. Burn it until it becomes an ascending smoke offering. So you burn it to black. You don't eat it. It's for Yahuwah. So you would want to buy something that you would feel that it would be acceptable as an offering to Yahuwah. It's so much different from giving money. You don't know where that money's been. The money's defiled. You don't know if that money changed hands through prostitution. You don't know if that money changed hands through through drugs. You don't know if that money changed hands or even stolen out of people's hands, but changed hands from thief to thief. You don't know that. But you go to churches on Sunday to offer the Most High debt fiat currency backed up by absolutely nothing and think that appeases him by giving your 10% of said currency. He has made the currency as far as flesh, the animal, all upon this earth. There's really no excuse for any of you on a new moon. And understanding the new moon, to not offer an ascending smoke offering using meat, beef, lamb, never pork, but beef, steak, or lamb. Now, I don't know about chickens. I just never have done chickens because chickens is just so common. Chickens are cheap. You wouldn't offer the Most High something cheap, would you? No. We would offer him USDA top grade beef or top grade lamb. And I was thinking about this 10%, this debt fiat currency, just right now because I mentioned prostitution. You ever think that the money that you gave the Most High came from a strip club? You ever think about the money that you put in the collection plate came from a strip club? And this is what you've given thanks to the Most High with. And it had me thinking also about how all throughout Scripture, they kept trying to resurrect Asherah poles. And they put these Asherah poles in high places. And I had to be thinking, like, what is so special about these poles? They were for the goddess Asherah, which is a goddess of fertility. You heard me say in previous episodes that anytime you talk about these ancient gods and goddesses and you hear fertility, it's nothing but sex worship. And they have never put these Asherah poles ground level. It's always been on a high hill, a mountaintop, or a very high place. And I was like, have you ever been to a strip club and see the stripper pole on the ground? I'm trying to remember if any strip club I've ever been to in my life where the stripper pole ever been ground level. It's always been on a high place. It's always been on a platform. It's always been on a stage for you to look up. And the woman spins because obviously she's worshiping her sexuality. her fertility. I wonder that that's where they got this ancient practice of going around or going up to the astral pole. And here we are in this millennia going to strip clubs or going to a temple to throw money to this astral pole while we watch this woman display her fertility or her sexuality. And then we take, and then that money changes so many hands, it ends up into a collection plate. And we think and truly believe that the Most High accepts this type of worship and praise. When easily you could go to Whole Foods or any butcher shop and do the sending smoke offering. I don't know why people fight against it. The first thing they say, and I talked about this before, is, oh, it, you know, we're not called to do sacrifices anymore. It's sacrificing, you know, is not better than an obedience. But you're not reading the scriptures. Numbers 10 and Numbers chapter 15 says that this is how we become obedient unto him during the new moon. This is not a sacrifice for sin. It is an offering. I think people get this confused. This is an offering. This is not a sacrifice for sin. Just say you don't have the money or the funds. Just say you don't want to build the altar. Just say you don't want to do it. Just say you're not understanding or don't have the Ruach Binyah to do this offering or this particular statute or ordinance. Just say that. Don't come online talking about, oh, you know, say, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And yet people display so many different levels of not sacrificing their sin to worship and praise Yahuwah. Hypocrites. But while I'm on this whole new moon thing, I was approached with a question that the new moon does not mean the first day. But I think there was confusion because I didn't say new moon was the first day or the first day of the week where you have to, we keep calculating the first day of the week. The new moon is the phases of the moon. So in Ezekiel 46, 1 through 4, it says, thus says Adonai Yahuwah, the gate of the inner court that looks towards the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Shabbat it shall be opened. And in the day of the new moon, it shall be opened. This is the Most High, which I said this before. I said that if you read scripture, you would see that the Shabbats and the new moons are closely linked together. Sometimes they're even in the same verse. If you have the Sefer, the digital app, which is why I tell you to get the Sefer digital app, because you can just look up these things yourself very easily. Type in Shabbat and new moon. You would be amazed at how many times the new moon is right next to Shabbat. That means that's why we do the Shabbat on a new moon, because they have almost the same exact ordinances or statutes. It's just on this new moon, on the new moons, we give an offering. We blow the silver trumpet. So it doesn't mean the first day of the week. It's included. The new moons are included because it's the first day. Enoch 78:14 says, when the light slowly increases upon the moon, after it goes dark, and light is received upon the moon, that is the first day. That, so from there, the first day, the next day is the second day, the next day is the third day, the next day after that is the fourth day. But the beginning of the month, that is the first day. That's why the Most High wanted the gate of the inner court opened on new moons and Shabbats, because it helps you come together as an assembly. If we had an inner court right now, we wouldn't have these kinds of questions or conversations, because we would meet in the inner court. We would have the ability to meet in the inner court on the new moon. So we would know, oh, it must be the new moon, or it's getting ready to be the new moon. And you would know this because after you have already been through the last Shabbat. So it would be a Shabbat and you'd be like, where am I going? And it'd be like 2 days later or a day later. You'd be like, oh, it's right, it's Shabbat. Because between the last Shabbat and the new moon is always a day or two. It's always a day or two between. So when people start moving around, you be like, oh, you going back over there. Like, yeah, it's the new moon. Like, oh, okay. And then you set the whole week again. It's to remind you like, oh, we're starting something new. We're starting the new month. And verse 2 says, and the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without and shall stand by the post of the gate. And the priest shall prepare his ascending smoke offering and his peace offerings. And he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. But the gate shall not be shut until the evening. So this also brings up the times between when is the Shabbat and when does the Shabbat end? Or when is the new moon and when does the new moon end? Again, if you go to Amos 8:5, it says that they asked, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell grain? Or when would the Shabbat be done? When we are able to set forth wheat so they can falsify the balances. So they were waiting for darkness. This is completely different from the Friday and Saturday Shabbats that people are still on, which is the Friday evening to Saturday evening. That doesn't make sense. If they're waiting to set forth in the evening, how can that be the start of the Shabbat or the start of the new moon? If they're waiting to set forth and to falsify balances to buy and sell wheat and grain, why are they asking in the evening and not asking earlier than that? Why they're asking in the evening if the Shabbat is supposed to start Friday evening to Saturday evening? You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. Yahushua said it's but 12 hours in a day, not 24 hours. So going from sunrise to sunset, to me, is the ordinance, is the statute. So that's why it says, after he shall worship at the threshold of the gate, and then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. That means it's done. That means it's over. Everybody go home. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before Yahuwah in the Shabbats and in the new moons. Again, that's why I said it's mentioned right next to each other, so they have the same statute and ordinance. And the ascending smoke offering that the prince shall offer unto Yahuwah in the Shabbat shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. This is how we know how to pick out pure currency, a pure offering. The Most High accepts nothing but pureness. All of our lives living in the 501c3 nonprofit churches instituted by the government, we thought giving our 10%, our money, our dollars, our cents, defiled money to the Most High and thinking that is a worship and praise towards Him. We really did try to water down the praise and worship of the Most High to fit our comfortable schedule, to fit our comfortable needs. We literally lowered the bar in worshiping this man. That's why so many people, especially in religion, feel that the Most High accepts anything and everything because they haven't seen judgment. They haven't read truly the scriptures. They believe that all these old ways are done away with. When in some of these ordinances and statutes say passed down from generation to generation to generation forever, just like tzitzits, just like the tassels, that's passed down generation to generation to generation. When the Most High says forever, it is forever until He says it's not forever. But we become so modern in this world and we talk of this modern God, this modern Yahuwah, this modern Jesus, that they just accept anything and everything because they've given us grace. That there's no law because we have grace. All we need to do is have faith and believe. Satan's minions and his puppets are out here breaking their necks, doing all types of symbolism from the sun up to the sundown, trying to stay in His good graces because they believe that He has power over this world, truly has power over this world. So that's who they worship. You don't watch these celebrities. You don't watch how, for instance, Katy Perry. You don't see how hard she goes to stay in the limelight, to be a puppet for Satan. How can we, as a follower of a different deity, of the man who created this entire universe, who has created Satan, has created the righteous and the wicked, how can we sit here and say, like, all we have to do is have faith, and we don't demonstrate our faith through works? The Most High needs and wants to be worshipped, a desire for us to worship him. If you read the scriptures, you see how PO'd he would get when we would turn away from him and serve other idols. He would be more upset at that than anything else in scripture. He cannot stand when his children, his inheritance, go whoring after other idols. He could not stand it. So if you see how all these celebrities serve Satan by all this weird symbolism that they do with their hands, and they can't stop doing it, but we sit on our couches and say, well, you know, all I have to do is believe. All I have to do is believe that he died for our sins, and that's it. Something ain't right. You know, but this is an ordinance that not only the Israelites did, it's also an ordinance that we did after the curses were instituted. He said that we were going to discontinue from our heritage. But I found a video that further validates that we did ascending smoke offerings, but we were doing it towards ancestors. We were doing it towards sin and not to the Most High.
Traditional Bantu religion includes offerings of goats, bulls, or chickens, sometimes burnt or sacrificed, to honor ancestors. But this, because of the corruption of sin, we're doing this to honor ancestors or to garner favor from God, right? Especially before battles or harvests. This resembles Israelite sacrificial customs, though it has been corrupted by ancestral worship. The moons, right? Among the Zulu and others, the new moon was used to mark months or feast days. That's why the word umwenshi, kodeshi, mean moon, new moon, or month. All right?
Yeah.
And you said inyanga. I think that's what you mentioned.
That's what I said.
Some Bantu groups observe the new moon to begin agricultural or ceremonial cycles, just like in the Bible. Among the Zulu and others, moon phases were essential to their calendar, and the biblical calendar is based on the moon, right? Paralleling the biblical lunar calendar.
Boom. And that was Brother Yirmiyahu. I don't want to mess up his last name, but it's Mwangelwa, Mwangelwa. He had a book out, or eight-book series called The Scattered Israelites, and he talks about the connection with the Bantu and the Yashareli from the Bible. And he goes through languages, different words that mean almost the same thing in Hebrew and it does in the Bantu language. It was a great interview that I saw him on. I forgot, I think it was something Mano and Rain. I'll try to find the link again, but it was a great interview. And he was going through different words in the Bantu diaspora that linked up with the Hebrew, which proved that we were always in Yashareli, that we were always in Africa or South Africa. And we did these things, and now we coming back to them, and now people are rejecting to do them. Well, so that's because you have not studied to show yourself approved. And I would have brothers emailing me trying to say, oh no, you know, this not what it meant. This not what it meant, trying to validate their Dead Sea Scrolls calendar. But like I said, that's why that is the rule. There's a ruach going around trying to infiltrate and trying to lead people astray, trying to confuse because of their own flesh and following a religion, trying to follow the Essenians or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, trying to follow doctrines of men and naturally relying on the Most High. And because they have taught this particular solar calendar for so long, they don't see no way around it that they could be wrong. I mean, like I said, I had a brother on this show, and all he was showing me was zodiac signs and the moon phases all over the place. Like, he was tracking the moon phases. That means his first day in the month, moon phase was completely different from the second month and the third month. And he had to write all of this down and how these zodiac signs appeared during each month. Like, I'm talking about total confusion, but he had it down to a science and it almost made it believable. But if you just go back to the very basic and simple forms of scripture, it says what the new moon is. It says it's the first day. And like I said before, I'm doing my calendar different because I am measuring it up with the seasons of South Africa. So if South Africa is getting ready to go into its spring, that is when the Pasach happened for them. And it's just a coincidence that the September 7th and 8th, there will be a blood moon. Which is a beautiful coincidence to me that we are all coming together to get this calendar right. And to start a Pasach, America is seeing its blood moon on September 7th and 8th. And obviously, you know, the scriptures and the prophecies talking about the blood moon. I'm not saying it's going to happen. As soon as the blood moon happens, we're getting ready to get out of here. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying it's a good marker to understand where we are right now. 2 Timothy 15 through 21. Study to show yourself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're wrong, say you're wrong. I have came on here multiple times and said I was wrong, especially when I had y'all go from Nick Vanderland's calendar to become Set Apart's calendar, and now we on another whole new calendar. But at least this time I'm using scripture. I'm not using man's translation of scripture or man's understanding of the Most High's calendar. I am using the Most High and all of his words. So it ain't me saying that this is my calendar. I'm saying this is what I'm showing you, which seems to be right, which seems to be in the right direction. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more wickedness. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more wickedness. We all went through this phase. Everybody was right. When we started out Friday, Saturday, Shabbat, everybody was claiming we were right, and we were getting mad at others who weren't doing the Friday evening, the Saturday evening. We were doing it all the time we were awakened. We first got awakened, that's the first thing we jumped on, was why aren't you doing the Shabbats? Why aren't you doing the Shabbats? Why aren't you doing a Friday evening and a Saturday evening? And we were dead wrong. And then we were on social media telling everybody they were dead wrong. And then here we are, we were wrong from jump. But most people didn't want to say they were wrong. Most people just switched topics and went to something else, not taking accountability of all the people they have told that they were wrong. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Now, this is something they were talking about then, this whole millennial reign that already happened. There's people online talking about this already. Like, oh, he already came already. He already was resurrected and came down, and everybody's been resurrected already, and so the millennial reign has already happened. And at that time, this is the setup for it. The setup was like, oh, people are already talking about this has happened. This has already been passed. Sowing confusion into this truth. Nevertheless, the foundation of Elohim stands sure, having this seal, Yahuwah knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Mashiach depart from iniquity. But it's the people that know Yahuwah and Yahuwah has chosen. This is the real boss of all this. We don't wake up on our own. We could tell the stories of how we woken up, but it was not us who chose to wake up. He has chosen us, and he has chosen us before time. Before we came into this world, he knew what seed needed to be planted. And he knew exactly when to plant this particular seed. Some of us joke that, oh, since we were old souls, that, man, we would have been thriving if we were born in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. Like, we were born in the wrong, we always say this, well, we were born in the wrong generation. And then come to the realization that, no, we were born at the right time, such as this. Just like they say of Esther, before she saved Yasharel, he said, wouldn't it be a miracle and a wonder that you were born for a specific time as this? So you who are awakened, you who were planted before time, you before you were who you were, before your parents who they were, before your grandparents, before the beginning of time, you were already manifested as a seed destined to be planted in this time. Having the seal, Yahuwah knows them that are his. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, basically clay. And some to honor and some to dishonor. What he's saying is, in a great house, there are only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth. There's a lot of wood and there's a lot of earth. There's somewhat an abundance of silver, but gold is precious. And this is the resources that I was talking about in my other episode of this podcast, that you would want to be a precious resource. You would want to be gold. You want to be tried as gold. You want to be purged as gold. You want to be exalted as gold, refined as gold. And vessels, he's saying, like you utensils. Like, you don't even bring out the good stuff when you're in great company. When you want to entertain, when you want to bring in important guests to your house, you don't bring out plastic forks. You don't bring out dirty utensils. You bring out the good stuff. That's precious. It's not for everyday use. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for Adonai's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, there's a lot of wickedness in this land, but the wickedness has its purpose. That is the clay. That is the earth. That is the wood. We are not of earth. We are not of clay and wood or brass or silver. We are of gold. So we are going to shine when this whole entire world goes dark. We are going to shine and be worth more because everybody will be in their wickedness. Everybody will be in their sin. And how are we going to show forth that the Most High is who he says he is? By redeeming us, by purging us, and showing us to be a light unto everybody when everybody will be falling and marveling after the beast. Why do you think that it says in Revelation that Satan, being wroth, will come down having great vengeance and will go to war with the remnant to those who keep and guard the commandments? Christians argue all day and night about Paul said, no, you won't be justified by the law. The law means nothing. The law was fulfilled. Then why would Satan, at the end of Revelation, say that he's going to go to war with the remnant and those who keep and guard the commandments? He didn't say he was going to go to war with Christians. He didn't say he was going to go to war with Muslims. He didn't say he was going to go to war with Judaism. He said he's going to war with the remnant and those who guard and keep the commandments. That is the gold. That is the final purging and refining of the resource that the Most High has already planted ahead of time to shine for a time such as this. 2 Baruch chapter 80, verses 1 through 3. And now, my brethren, I make known unto you that when the enemy had surrounded the city, the angels of the Most High were sent, and they overthrew the fortifications of the strong wall, and they destroyed the firm iron corners, which could not be rooted out. Nevertheless, they hid all the vessels of the sanctuary, lest the enemy should get possession of them. And when they had done these things, they delivered thereupon the enemy the overthrown wall and the plundered house, and the burnt temple, and the people who were overcome, because they were delivered up, lest the enemy should boast. Lest the enemy should boast. So what this verse is saying is showing also that the Most High is boss and control of it all. So even when destruction and judgment is coming upon Yasharel and Yerushalayim, the Most High makes sure that they don't get to boast about taking down the wall and stealing the stuff out of his temple. He sent angels to already do that. So people get scared. That's why Yahushua said, do not be afraid. Do not fear. He's telling us that his Father is in control of everything. That when you see things fall and crumbling and wickedness seems to wax strong, it is all for his purpose. You should never be scared. Because even in judgment of his own children, he would not let the enemy boast themselves that they are the ones that destroyed the Most High's wall. They are the ones that destroyed the temple and burned it. They were the ones that took all the precious jewels and precious things of Yahuwah or treasuries out of the temple and out of the storehouses. He didn't want them to boast. The Most High cares so much about his name, he wouldn't want somebody lower than him, way lower than him, to boast and said, I did this because of who I am. That's true control. That's someone caring so much for his name, for his people. He will not allow the heathen, the Gentile, to boast themselves and exalt themselves through their own means when it was he is the one that directed them and brought them up out of their own land to come into Yasharel or Yerushalayim to exact judgment. He needs everyone to know that he's in charge. So he's saying, I'm going to destroy this place. I'm going to send this people to do it, but I'm going to do it first so they don't boast and think that they got more power than I do. So when you see something happen in your life to prove you, to try you and bring you to the fullness of the gospel, to bring you fullness to the faith, know that is being brought to you for a reason. And that reason is to show you that I'm going to test your faith and prove you through this circumstance or this situation. But I will not allow your enemy to boast above you and say, ha, I conquered somebody that followed the Most High Yahuwah. Even when you're in your correction and you're going through judgment from him, he will not let your enemy boast themselves up upon you, especially when they know you follow the Most High Yahuwah. Only thing you can do is take your lumps, take your beating, take that rod for a little bit, and then move on. Don't dwell in shame. Don't dwell in discomfort. Don't backslide, but continue. But continue in his grace and continue in his word. And then after you come back from correction, then you will understand the whole meaning of you versus your enemy or whatever you're going against in your walk. Romans 8, 26 through 31. Likewise, the Ruach also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Ruach itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows the mind of the Ruach, is because he makes intercession for the Kodeshim according to the will of Elohim. He that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Ruach is, because he makes intercession for the Kodeshim according to the will of Elohim. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, or Yahuwah, to them who are called according to his purpose, called, planted, called, chosen. All of this has nothing to do with the enemy. This has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with your stumbling blocks. It has nothing to do with your snares. It has nothing to do with the pits that you fall into. This has everything to do with Yahuwah's plan and his planting. His sowing of you will make sure it reaps fruit. This is what you have to go through. Some of you are a little discomforted because of the coming into doing new moons and Shabbats and all that. Right now, you can't set your calendar. You can't set your work day to take off work and missing work because of the Shabbat. You think the Most High doesn't know this? You think he doesn't know where we are when he woke us up? You think he doesn't know the soil he planted us in? You think he doesn't know this? You don't think that he knows that we through this walk, will have weeds choking us before we come up, before we're able to even produce fruit? You don't think he knows he planted us, some of us, in soil that's underneath rocks? You think he doesn't know how he planted us? We all were planted on different terrain, but we were planted on good soil because we are waking up. There may have been rocks in our way. There may have been weeds choking us. There may have been thorns wrapped around our vines. But the Most High is saying that through this, I'm going to show you I can make you produce. I can make fruit be produced anywhere. I can show you this. It doesn't matter the terrain. It doesn't matter the seasons. What I want you to bring forth, you're going to bring forth. Whether it be in hail, whether it be rain, whether it be sun. And the enemy cannot do anything to you while I'm doing this. That's the main issue. I mean, the main topic, the main thing about scripture. I'm going to show you that regardless of what's over top of you, what's binding you, what's choking you, what you lack thereof, I'm going to make you stronger out of the things that you feel are hindering your growth. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predetermine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predetermine them, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If Elohim be for us, who can be against us? Now you understand why Christians take verse 31 and that's all they use out of it. But if you read most of the scriptures before that, you can truly have a greater understanding that the enemy does not have the power you think it has. Your enemies in your day-to-day walk do not have the power you think they have. I don't care if they're your bosses. I don't care if they're your owners, it don't matter. I don't care if they're your landlords, it doesn't matter. Anything and everything that's around you to test and try you is to purge you from earth to wood to silver or to brass to gold. It's a steady process. We all, when we started out, were like everybody else. We were like everybody else. Everybody's planted on almost different terrains and different soils, but we were like everybody else. We started to change when our eyes were open because we were already selected to receive sun, receive rain. We received the growth necessary from Yahuwah to be where we are at today. And it brought me, because I know some of you are still backsliding. So I found Yirmiyahu chapter 2, 19 through 24, and I'm going to hit Hosea 14, 3 to 9. Yirmiyahu chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. Your own wickedness shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that you have forsaken Yahuwah Elohaka, and that my fear is not in you, says Adonai Yahuwah Sefa'ad. Now, we have all fell, even being awoken in this walk, but we still have that fear. It only takes a couple of seconds to sin, but the thoughts of sinning bubbles up before the action takes place. And afterwards, we feel that shame. Most people who wake up and sin don't feel no shame because they're not in the scriptures. They don't have anything to convict them. So that fear, even when we fall, is still in us. When you wake up and just go about yourself and you know that you're sinning or you know you did something bad, and your conscience don't convict you, you already reached the backsliding. Backsliding isn't just, oh, I made a stumbled. That's not backsliding. Backsliding is, I'm stumbling and I'm choosing to keep falling. That's the difference. I think people think, you know, especially in Christian churches, once you make one mistake, that is backsliding. But it's so weird that Christians talk about backsliding when they don't follow any laws. They don't follow any statutes. They don't follow any commandments because the laws are done away with. So I'm really confused as when Christians use the law when it works best for them in their sermons, when they talk about backsliding. Because if everybody's been given grace, there should be no such thing as backsliding, because your grace covers your backsliding. But in scripture, in true scripture, when you're in this walk, you have to choose to go against the Most High. You have to truly choose to go a different way. For of old time, I have broken your yoke and burst your bands, and you said, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill, under every green tree, you wander, playing the harlot, playing the whore. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Whew. For though you wash with nitre and take you much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says Adonai Yahuwah. No matter how many times you try to wash it off, don't matter how many times you try to spa day it off, is still shown, especially when you are not showing repentance. Your sins are marked on you. How can you say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary, a camel, a one-hump camel, traversing her ways. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffs up at the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not worry themselves. In her month, they shall find her. A wild ass used to the wilderness. So after a while, when you're backsliding, you're used to being in the jungle. You used to wickedness now. You used to sinning. You used to the world. And this is what this world is, a wilderness that people are used to. It says, in her occasion, who can turn her away? So when you go a-whoring, in her occasions, you look at yourself as a female ass, as a female donkey. And when you get in heat and you looking for anything to please you, who going to turn you away? Because you in heat. All they that seek her will not worry themselves, because you easily found. This world is ready to pervert you. You're easily ready to be perverted. You're easily to have your legs open. You're easily to get to go into a club and get drunk and get lascivious. You're easy. In her month, they shall find her. So I'm assuming every animal has a month where they're in heat. So whenever you're looking for sin, or whenever you want to go out looking for foolishness, you're easily found. And when foolishness finds you, it whores you out. Idolatry whores you out. The love of money, it'll whore you out. The status in your job, after a while, the successes that come from it, it will whore you out. It don't always have to do about sex, but your time, that's all it is, time. Time whores you out, because you focus more on the wilderness, the foolishness, than you are of Yahuwah. So whatever you are paying more attention to, that is what you are whoring yourself out for. Hosea chapter 14, Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say anymore to the work of our hands, ye are our Elohim, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. So it doesn't matter what nation, Ashur, Babylon, Rome, Greece, Egypt, America, it don't matter where you are. It will not save you. When the Most High visits this earth, none of those countries, none of those governments, none of those politicians will save you. I think you already know this. But I know some of you are coming out of the pride and glory of your government, because that's all you know. Going to voting, you felt you had power in deciding what's the best interest of this country or any country that you've somehow voted in. It says that we will never, neither will we say anymore to the work of our hands, ye are our Elohim, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. So people who are without fathers, without instruction, without a covering, they seek out governments. They seek out politicians. They seek out Freemasons to be their covering. Even if they don't know they're Freemasons, they seek them out. Why do you think right now they drum up any other protest that has anything to do with the LGBTQ community? They are the fatherless. Because their ways are perverted, they reject a covering. And that's most of gay folks, their trauma comes from no father or their father abusing them. No one is woken up and say, you know what, I was born gay. No, that comes from trauma. That comes from either being in a place of vulnerability as a child and somebody taking advantage of your childhood. And that's usually from a lack of a father being in the household, whether he was a weak father or a father that just wasn't there. But he's saying this is why we are to watch over the fatherless and the widow. We are to be a father and then a husbandman to the widow. That's why he says this, because without a covering, without instruction and correction, they will go to anywhere else in this world and will exalt what is going to doom them in the end as a covering. But the Most High says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Yashareel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the grain and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do anymore with idols? It's funny that Ephraim says this, since Ephraim does come from a bloodline of Hamites through Aseneth, Joseph's wife. So, like I said, those generational curses are shown up in scripture, even in the days of the Israelites. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is your fruit found. I wonder why the Most High said that I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is your fruit found. Now, we think of fruit as apples, oranges, lemons, things that come off the tree. But I looked up, the green fir trees produce fruit. They don't produce a fruit that you can, well, you can eat the tip of it, they say. But the thing that's different from this particular type of fruit is that the cones are already seed-bearing structures. That means the seed is in the cone. It's naked. Is the Most High saying that I am like a green fir tree where your fruit is found, which means you don't have to eat to get to this seed. You don't have to eat to get into the fruit. I'm already exposed for you. I'm already showing you this is what you can have. I'm not holding anything back from you. Your fruit is found within me. I'm showing you where the seeds are. And you know when the seeds drop, it produces another tree. That is the beauty of the symbolism of the Most High. The metaphors is crazy. If you actually looked in what he likens himself to, or the metaphors that even him and Yahushua use, and go a little bit deeper than that, it's deep. Because the cone of the green fir tree is already exposed. Its seed, it sits on its tips. And of course, when the seed falls, it goes into the ground. And what happens, it continues to reproduce itself. So the Most High is saying, like, this seed, this fruit that I have for you, you can be as mighty, not as Yahuwah, but it comes from me. So you are going to grow. You are going to be strong. You're going to have a covering because of me. You don't have to eat through this fruit to get to the seed. You don't even have to wait till it falls. It's there for you. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of Yahuwah are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So, it is going to be a beautiful first day of the new moon. It was raining here in Florida, you know, on and off, because this is the rain season, this is the hurricane season, but it's light enough, it's sunny enough, it's dry enough for me to do my ascending smoke offering. In other news, did you see that the Peter Thiel, the tech billionaire, the gay tech billionaire, is going to have a sit down, a TED talk, not a TED talk, but he's going to have I don't know what you call it, he's having a symposium or whatever, and he's going to talk about the Antichrist. Man, I'm telling you, they're getting ready. They had never had a tech billionaire come out and say, you know what, I'm going to talk about the Antichrist. No one has ever done that, either last year, the year before last, in the last 5-10 years, we have never seen it. We have never seen somebody, especially a tech billionaire, a gay one at that, want to sit down and talk about the Antichrist. That means they're getting ready to warm you up to him. Now, whatever he says may not even be biblical, or it may not even be true, but the fact that the conversation is starting to happen, they need to do this to you. They ain't going to just pop out and say, this is the Antichrist. They need to warm you up. So warming you up to it, you will forget about them even talking about it. It's the same thing with 9/11. Why do you think they put all this predictive programming and symbolisms in all these cartoon shows, album covers, artists are saying it, in symbols and all this? Why do you think they do that? It's because once you see it so many times, you already now program in your subconscious to think that this is a normal, everyday thing. That when we saw that the tower was on fire, we were like, oh, it was just another day. We didn't understand the meaning behind it. We was like, oh. But in our subconscious, we were already warmed up to the idea that that building could be attacked. So now they want to talk about the Antichrist. Even when it's mentioned in Daniel 11:37 that the Antichrist will not desire women. So could the Antichrist not be gay? So it is a perfect time for a gay tech billionaire, especially when you know that these signs and wonders are going to come through AI. It is no coincidence that a gay tech billionaire is going to talk about the Antichrist. So I'm excited because I know we get ready to go into the real revelation. We're really get ready to go into the meat of it. We're really about to go into tribulation. And like I said before, these stories, what I just told you, should demonstrate to you that this system has no power over you. It does not have power. We are refining ourselves to become like gold. He has not planted us for us to be earth. He has not planted us to be wood. He has not planted us to be clay for everyday use. He has planted us for a specific purpose, precious. We always talk about what David said, he's going to prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. When you prepare a table in the presence of your enemies, are you going to use plastic utensils? Nah, you bring out the good stuff. You bring out your gold cups. You bring out your gold silverware. You bring out your gold knives and forks and gold plates. You don't bring out, you know, plastic utensils and paper plates. You bring out the good stuff. And that's what the Most High is getting ready to do for us. He's about to pull out this table and prepare the good stuff to show the whole entire world why following his way is better than following the beast. I'll see y'all next time.